Hi, welcome to our second episode of The Tripod. I'm Zarina.
I'm Carter. We've got a great episode for you guys today. We've got another issue of The Triangle is out. This time, actually out in stands. There's paper copy pretty much everywhere on campus, so wherever you see one, feel free to take one. We got some good stuff in here, I would say.
So, starting off strong, the article that I contributed to this edition was about Philadelphia's only environmental magnet school, and it was just voted by the Philadelphia School Board to be shut down. They were voting on a bunch of schools to be shut down, which was part of the Philadelphia Facilities Master Plan, a $2.8 billion plan that was hoping to make the facilities for the schools more modern and to cut unnecessary spending. But it's really unfortunate because that is the only place for kids to go, and it's also a really safe school. I mean, a lot of schools in Philly are rated a 1 out of 10. The public schools are not always the best, and this school was really safe in Roxborough. I mean, Obviously that's so safe, and now they don't have that anymore.
It's also such like a different kind of education. I mean, you normally think of like, yeah, high school, middle school, everything like that. You're just sitting in a classroom, but like the kids that have actually had these experiences, you know, they're going out in the world. I feel like they have such a different, you know, perspective on the world. And it's like, I don't know. It kind of stinks because yeah, if you want your kids to have that experience, if you want to be able to do that, there's really like, so it's Saul, I guess Saul is like the other one now, but like, so why is that one, like, why is this one such like a big deal?
Yeah, so I think if you're not in the environmental sector or space at all, then you could think that maybe an agricultural school is very similar.
Okay.
But just to give an idea of how they're so different, environmental advocates are generally against big agricultural companies because they knock down forests to create these farms. So there's a lot that these sectors clash on, and for that reason, they're just so separate. I mean, like, one, you're studying the biodiverse ecosystems that take place in all different sorts of landscapes across the world, and the other one is more about creating food.
Gotcha.
Creating food for people, which are both important, but just very different.
Yeah. So what do you do if you're enrolled in the school right now? Like, what happens? Like, especially for the other 16 schools, like, what does that look like for these kids?
They're going to W.B. Saul, the agricultural school.
Gotcha.
They're all being sent there next year.
Got it. Okay. So, I mean, that's got to be brutal. Like, you're going to school, you know all these kids, and then all of a sudden you're just,
yeah.
That kind of stinks right there.
Yeah. It definitely does stink. And it just, now there's not an opportunity for students, unless you have the money to go to private school, there's not the opportunity for students to get an environmental education in Philadelphia. But this also has to do with another article that was written. Subi, our news editor, wrote about the rideshare tax.
Okay, gotcha.
Something interesting about this that ties back to my article is that the council was waiting to vote on the rideshare tax until they knew how the school board would vote on the closing of the schools.
Okay, that's interesting.
Because Sherelle Parker, or the city in general, was saying that they could use the money from, that they would get from the rideshare tax, from taxing like Uber rides and
stuff. Okay.
They could use that to help with the schools.
Gotcha, but people are really against the rideshare. From what I understand, I haven't heard anyone say like, I really like the rideshare tax.
Yeah, I feel like I like the rideshare tax, but it's being displaced onto the people, like not the company. If the company genuinely was going to pay for it, then that's one thing. But like, obviously, if the prices are going up for the company, they're just going to bump the prices up for people.
Okay, and what about like the actual like Uber drivers, something like that? Does it fall on them too, or like how does that all?
I feel like they'll probably just continue to get paid nothing. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of brutal already, but taking stuff from that, it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess if you're in a situation like that, I don't know. You kind of have to make these decisions, but I don't know. I could never be in that situation. I would probably
never be an Uber driver.
I could never be an Uber driver. I could never be the mayor. Those are the two things that are
like, what
would
you rather be? Uber driver or mayor?
I think Uber driver would be fun. I think Uber driver, I'd say like, if I like moved to like a new city, I would be an Uber driver for a bit. And just like, because you want to be able to check everything out regardless.
Okay.
And then you're getting
paid
too.
Make money while doing.
Like, kinda, yeah. You're like, oh, I've never been here before.
Yeah.
I've never been here before. You can check all these places.
Yeah.
I think mayor could be fun though. I don't know. You think you'd be a good mayor? Yeah.
I think I'd be a better Uber driver, honestly. Honestly, same qualities needed for both.
Yeah, I think every mayor should have to be an Uber driver at one point. Like, you should be able to be a successful Uber driver, know the city, know the area, and know the people. Okay, that's interesting. Any other calls in here? I mean, the one that I really enjoyed was the one about Drexel counseling. I thought that was really interesting. Mm-hmm. Some really interesting perspectives in there.
Definitely. Well, I shared my perspective in there. I was interviewed, and I shared about a time that I went to Drexel counseling because my pet passed away, and she was not very helpful.
Okay, interesting.
She was very much like saying that a pet passing is just a terrible thing, and she doesn't know what to do.
Okay, you know? Gotcha. Yeah. But is that just, I mean, even people with like, nothing against your pet passing, people going with really extreme stuff and they're being met with the same sort of thing. It's like,
I think so.
I'm going through this and they're like, I don't know, not to speak on other people, but like from what I'm hearing, it's just like not great service overall. Yeah. You want to talk, get into that?
Okay. So America, as everyone knows, we're turning 250 years old.
We are, yes. And there's a lot going down, right? Right in our own neighborhood right here. So it should be a pretty good summer.
Yeah.
They really like to harp on that. I don't know. I mean, I would too, but you know, it definitely got the point across.
You would too if you were a country?
If I was the mayor of Philadelphia, if I was Cheryl Parker, that would be one of my things.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun. I think the whole plan they have in place here, I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Are you planning on attending any of the events?
I don't know. I don't have World Cup money, I'm not going to lie. Like, ideally, in the perfect world, I could go to the World Cup. And what's it, the All-Star Game? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't have World Cup or All-Star Game money.
Yeah.
Maybe we could get, like, a press pass to the World Cup. I think we could figure something like that out. I think we could add a lot to that, to the festivities.
We could do a live podcasting at the World Cup.
We could do that. Well, it's also, like, it's not just the World Cup. Like, there's a whole thing going on, like, there's like these like sort of festivals and like all these activities and stuff you can do. So like you don't actually have to have a ticket to the game to enjoy it. There's like a whole, the whole city is going to be, you know, in on this thing. And then the whole bars thing, I'm sure you guys have heard about that, open until 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
during that time. That'll be interesting.
I think it's
for better or worse, I guess.
Yeah, I think that it will be really good if these Europeans could drive in money for the city.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
It's definitely going to be cool to see how the neighborhoods around like Packer Park and those neighborhoods around the stadiums, how they deal with this influx of people. We are now here with Sadie Subetti, a third-year law major who was recently elected as USGA's president.
Yes, yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
It's a big deal right there.
And of course the Triangle covered it and it is on the front page. Super exciting.
Mm-hmm. What was that like? I mean, like seeing yourself on the front page. Not that it's like, I don't know.
I'll be honest, it wasn't my first time. There was a hit article about USGA my freshman year in the Triangle. Felt like redemption arc.
There you go. Well, congratulations again. And you talked about like that election process. You're in USGA. I know absolutely nothing about mm-hmm. USGA. Can mm-hmm. you just explain like how that sort of looks? Like
Definitely.
What sort of thing you went through in the last month or so?
Yes. So to start with presidential elections, this is open to the entire student body. And to go through this, you have to fill out your CREA, your application. You also have to be on the board for 3 quarters beforehand. And it was something I had been thinking about since my freshman year, so I was really excited, and there was some blips along the way, but you just kind of have to like get through those, and you find your running mate, and typically you don't actually have to have a running mate because they're separate elections, but it's pretty common tradition that you find someone who you work well with and you just kind of propose the question to them, and that's what I did with my VP Abir, who could not be here tonight, but she had a lot of very similar ideas to mine about what we want not only the board to look like, but also Drexel. And we had really contrasting ideas too. And I think that's where we actually bonded because she's a super different perspective than me. She's a commuter. She's also Philly native. So she's seen Drexel in a totally different light than myself. And we went through the process together. We were outside getting votes from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. every day, contacting as many orgs as we could, and also just trying to sit down with the leaders of these orgs and see what they're lacking from Drexel, what they feel like they need, explaining how we can support and what they need from us in order to support them. And I think that was interesting because a lot of people don't know what student government is. So at the end of the week, we get the results, and that is all from the student body.
Yeah, that's been a point of contention, I feel. Like, should the student body have a right to vote on who the civic engagement chair of USGA should be? Currently, as it stands, as you said, all exec, all chairs, all senators are only voted on by the committee after they get votes. They have to get, what, 50 votes from the student body?
Gotcha.
Once they get those votes from the student body, then they're eligible for election. In that election, the rest of USGA votes.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's not the case at all schools.
Yeah.
Usually it's like the whole student body will vote on every single person.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's interesting, gotcha.
And I think where the history of USGA comes in is they, from what I understand, originally had it that way, where they had the student body voting on every single position, but it really became a popularity contest, and that's something that they wanted to avoid. So what they do is they actually mimic our like board of trustees, the way that they are designed, and it's voted on by the previous board. So it's a very similar layout to that, and there's always going to be like controversy of what you want to do in terms of having elections, but I think that's what their idea was, to avoid any popularity issues and things like that.
Gotcha. And you sort of talked about it earlier. So, like, yeah, once again, I know pretty much nothing about USGA. Like, now that you're president, like, what can you get done? Like, what is the role of president of USGA?
Yeah.
I guess the organization overall.
Yeah. Well, I would say there's really two parts of it.
Okay.
So there's one part where you are directly interacting with administration, and this includes President Berlow, this includes Board of Trustees, Dr. Katie Zamolinsky, who is our advisor, people who are really, quite honestly, up in the ranks.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It can seem a little intimidating, like, what do you do with that? But essentially, the whole point of having student body president is to communicate what the student body needs and wants. And it's sitting down with administration, having a one-on-one to really let them know exactly what students are lacking currently. And
can give some examples of initiatives. I think
definitely
a lot of people that I hear from, as it was stated in this article, just don't know what USGA really does, like material level.
Yeah. So there are different types of committees. There are standing committees, and then there's also internal committees. And our very own Zarina is the co-chair for buildings and properties, which, might I say, gets probably most done out of all of our committees in terms of what Drexel students are really seeing with their own eyes. So that's going to be trying to make it clear what is going on with the construction on campus and getting the lines on the roads repainted so that students don't have to fear for their lives as much when they're crossing the road. And apart from that, we also have a civic engagement committee, and this is the committee that's really working hands-on with the community, specifically the West Philadelphia community. So we are getting involved in the MLK Day cleanups. We are manning Civic Earth Fest, which is a week long of different civic related events that are supposed to happen during the week of Earth Day. And this is really to just get the word out about what you can do to be more civically engaged when you're part of Drexel's campus. And apart from that, we also participate in the Dornsife dinners. That happens on the first Tuesday of every month. That is us going directly with the community to sit down, eat dinner together, and talk about what's going on in the community, and also how Drexel, civic engagement, sports teams, whatever it may be, can get involved, and also just be a mindful neighbor. And that's another thing that we've been trying to work on a lot in the Civic Engagement Committee, which is what I've been a part of for 3 years now.
Nice.
And then apart from that, we have the Academic Affairs Committee, we have Student Life, we have the Student Organization Committee. I hope I'm not forgetting any. And then we have internal committees as well. One that we just started is the Student Communication Network. This is something we're really trying to expand next year, and this is us directly communicating with student leaders. So Triangle Leader, leaders that are in Greek Life, any club you can think of, we have emailed them.
Transformation. So there are so many questions.
I mean, to me, maybe I'm misunderstanding this, but you guys are kind of like that bridge between like the student body and then, is that what they say?
That is the golden line.
Is that your guys' like slogan and stuff like that? Okay, well, perfect. I didn't even know that.
Good job explaining. Great job, right there.
Is that it? That's like the thing? Okay, got you. I mean, so what is that like dealing with? So you have problems that students are going through. Like, are there times where like the higher ups, I don't know, higher ups, I guess, but like they kind of just can't really see eye to eye with the students? And what's it like sort of, you know, figuring that out?
100%. I don't know if you remember the whole food truck debacle.
Oh, yeah, we remember.
Oh,
great triangle article about that.
Yeah, we remember. Yeah. There was a lot going on in USGA and a lot going on in the triangle.
Interesting. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and I will say that's definitely something that we were just having a really hard time seeing eye to eye with on administration, because there was a lot of Philadelphia laws and like actual like legal limitations that they had. And I think they got so much pressure that they kind of just took a step back. I don't know if I'm really supposed to say that, but
anyway, from our perspective, that's luckily what happened. Yeah. They were pretty hard on everything, and all of a sudden it was like, oh,
exactly. It's just kind of like, I think as students, it's so hard to remember that we actually have a voice that we can use, because it can feel really discouraging when there are things going on, not only on campus, but just in the world in general, that we have so little that we can really do to feel like we're helping. And that goes down to our very like campus. There are issues that students have that they don't voice just because they don't think that they have any change. And that was the main reason that I wanted to join student government when I first came to Drexel, because it came down to the dining hall food and how I felt in my dorm I was having. And I think it's so hard to sometimes fathom that an idea can become a reality. So I think student government really, really focuses on making any idea you have into a reality.
Gotcha. I don't know, are there any things you have in mind specific, like very specific, like when I'm, the time I'm done being president, like this is gonna be a thing?
100%. I would say there are two main things that go into two different sectors. So my first main idea that I will die on this hill is having late night buses available for students. Right now the last bus is at 10 p.m. So students who are involved in clubs on campus that go into later or sports.
We might need a bus.
We're here often for production nights until upwards of midnight.
Yeah, definitely. That's exactly, I mean, I'm on campus until probably midnight as well with mock trial, especially when we're in season. It's like 5 days a week, and half of us live on like, I don't know, 36 and Brandywine, like far enough that you definitely don't want to walk that, especially when it's cold and snowy and icy.
Yeah.
And this is a really, really normal thing on other campuses. So I really want to have different bus stops throughout campus. And also, I hope to have more frequent buses as well.
Gotcha.
So right now they come every 15 minutes, and I think that will probably stay the same in terms of late night buses. But if we could get, you know, even one more bus running during like the peak rush hours, I think that would really help students who need to go straight from work to class to wherever they may be going next. And when you have ambitious students, you really need to support them in any way that you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said right there. Good stuff.
All campus, I guess you could say, and you'll probably have a mutual friend with everyone you see, but you don't know like what's going on campus. You don't know how to feel like you really belong here and that you want to have like that spirit for the school that you're attending.
I've heard people attribute that to the absence of a football team.
There's also schools, like, there's definitely schools out there that have no football team that, like,
I feel like any school that doesn't have a football team, the one that's coming to mind for me is George Washington. They don't have a football team, and they very much lack school spirit.
Okay. Yeah. What about, like, Gonzaga? Do they have a football team? I feel like they don't.
Maybe I'm wrong, because you know that they're so good at basketball.
Well, that's the thing. They have to spend, like, a few million on basketball.
Is St. John's a football team?
I can't imagine where they play.
Really?
But that's for the basketball team.
Okay.
I think for us, it's not so much the, like, I mean, yes.
Oh, yeah, all those Big East ones, like Villanova has no football. Oh, never mind, they do. Yeah, just ignore that. We'll cut that out.
And listen, if I could start a football team all by myself, I would, because
we had one.
We did.
When was that? When was the last year of the
Georgia Bulls? I want to say 1969 or something.
Damn.
Like
okay,
that.
Gotcha.
It was like it in was the 60s. Yeah. But anywho, so we're lacking school spirit, whatever the cause may be. I really do want to encourage a tailgate on campus before sports games.
Okay, there you go.
I've been in the talks with UCP about how this could really go down, and we've really tried to figure out the best way to do it because it really stinks that the weather is so cold during basketball season, so it doesn't really seem like something that can happen for homecoming. But maybe even creating an alumni game and having having different like playoffs, things like that. Whatever that game ends up being, we want this to be on Lancaster. We want to have different vendors. I really want to encourage the West Philadelphia community to come be involved. West Philadelphia vendors also getting in touch with the schools, providing free tickets for students, especially like elementary school students who may just be starting basketball or whatever the sport ends up being, and trying to give back to the community in any way that we can. But then also getting organizations involved, having different pop-ups, having Greek life involved as well. And that's honestly something that really shocked me while I was campaigning, is how much Greek life does really want to be involved in positive things on campus, and how there's a lot of disconnect about like what they can.
Shocks me too, girl. Oh, that's just me. You guys are both Greek life.
So it is definitely like something that I want everyone to feel excited for. I would love to have this on a weekend so we can have co-op students, we can have students in classes, and really just get people excited.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, yeah, that got me fired up right there. I don't know about you. I'm excited to be a dragon now. That's what I'm feeling.
I know you'd be popping out at those tailgates.
I would go. I'm actually going to a tailgate. I'm right there with you. Well, I can be tailgate committee? I can be on that.
Well, you know what? We're starting that right now. So.
Okay. If you need anyone to help out, I'll do what I can. I mean, yeah, those are the questions I had, unless you had anything else.
No, I think that's good.
Got you.
Well, thank you, Sadie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Excited for your...
We are now here with Polly Lascalzo, who is our former editor-in-chief and also wrote an article about Merlot's inauguration, which is also on the cover of our print edition.
What was that like? I mean, just to be able to go to an event like that, like, was it cool? Because you also, we'll get into it later, this is your boy right here we're talking about.
This is, that's my guy, President Merlot, just showing that Italians can be anything in this world. But yeah, no, it was great. It was... So I went to the fireside chat with him and I think Dr. Andrew Hamilton, who was his former boss at NYU. And then I also went to his inauguration on Thursday. And it was incredible, both experiences. I got to see him really talk about his vision for being president at Drexel, what he wants to accomplish in his tenure here. And then also I got to just catch up with him after the events, get to shake his hand, talk to him a little bit about how he's feeling going through what I'm sure is a huge week in his life. Mm-hmm. So it was great to talk to him. He's an incredible guy. So just super excited that I got to cover this article.
Nice. And then you knew him way before this, a year ago you talked to him originally?
Yeah, so when he first took over as president, it was July of 2025. And that's around when I was kind of really taking over the Triangle as editor-in-chief. So he was coming in and I was coming in at the same time. And we just had a couple meetings where just me and him, I got to interview him for an article, just got to see him a lot. And so he's been a great friend to the Triangle and he's always been super friendly to me. See him around campus all the time now. I get to say hi and catch up with him whenever I see him around.
Nice.
I'm so glad to hear that he's friendly.
Yeah, super friendly. Very different vibe from the president's office with President Merlot as opposed to previous administrations.
Interesting. You don't have to name any names, but
President Fry.
Yeah. Okay.
But I got he's very much student focused, and we talk about that in the article, that his vision is about increasing the student experience here, and that's what he cares about because he's a guy, first gen student. Came up as a student, centered guy, as a water polo coach, faculty member, he's a teacher. So that's kind of his background. That's what he cares about, is the student side of things. So, you know, he's always super friendly, cares a lot about sports, cares a lot about the student experience. Got to talk to him about Drexel basketball, got to talk to him about Italian soccer, you know, nice. Talking about everything. And he's just a great guy.
Nice. That's really cool. Anything he said specifically, like whether it's in your conversation with him or his speech that like made it clear like what kind of policies he was leaning towards as soon as he takes over?
Yeah, I mean, I think top of everyone's mind right now is the academic transformation. Gotcha. And I think that that's something that he inherited. It wasn't his initiative, but it's something that he is very supportive of. And throughout all of our conversations, and certainly present in his inauguration speech, he's talking about what that's going to mean for students. So in theory, it means more free time to do stuff. That's something we've talked a lot about. Like, students have more free time, maybe they get out to more school spirit oriented events. Maybe they're got time to go to a basketball game or time to go to a new club that they wouldn't have had time to otherwise. So I think that's kind of top of his mind right now, is how we're going to land the plane on the academic transformation and get everyone accustomed to semesters and hopefully start reaping the benefits of it as students, because I think that's the main thing they want to derive from that.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, it seems like everything I hear about him, I mean, a lot of it is coming from you, I'm not going to lie. Maybe some other sources are saying other things, but it seems like he's just like a really down-to-earth kind of guy that really does care about how the students are feeling. Which, yeah, I mean, not to, you know, be negative, but maybe in the past, I mean, when I first started here, and maybe it wasn't the case, I don't know. I mean, you probably have more to say about that, but...
Yeah, I had a really honest conversation with him when he first took over, and I wrote an article about it at the time, but where I said that, listen, I think you got a hard situation that you're taking over because you are inheriting an administration that did a lot of things that students didn't feel like benefited them. Mm-hmm. And I know if we're talking about the Lockheed Martin building that replaced the Buckley turf, like right on campus, right next to the sand volleyball courts that used to be a turf field that people could play on all the time. Now that's a building that Drexel's not even going to have full use of. And that's something that kind of stings for students to see that happen. All the buildings going up around us, all the construction that we've been accustomed to living among for the past couple of years, that's Drexel affiliated, but it's not for students. So I told him very honestly in the beginning that it is going to be tough for you because there's a lot going on right now that students feel like we kind of got shafted in a way.
Yeah.
The Drexel shaft.
Yeah.
And he was really understanding of that. But I think that he has an appreciation for where the school is now and the fact that we are going through a transformation and he has an opportunity to do what he can to impact the direction moving forward, even if he can't change what's happened.
So also, he is getting some backlash for some things with the Academy of Natural Sciences and such. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think my understanding is nothing has been finalized on that one, but I think, you know, that is something that if we do end up parting ways with the Academy of Natural Sciences, it would be interesting to see exactly what the rationale is there. I think that, you know, owning and operating a museum maybe isn't the most financially lucrative thing right now.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Have a museum,
it's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool to have. I would wonder how much students use it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's fair.
I would wonder how beneficial it is for the university to have. But like I'm happy to have it. I love the Academy. I've been a couple times and I love it. So I hope we don't get rid of it. I know how important it is for some of our environmental science and studies programs. So I would be sad to see it go. But as far as I'm aware, I don't think a decision has been made on that, but it'll be definitely a defining moment of his early tenure here if they do decide to part ways with it.
It seems though, even the things he was getting backlash for example, that he's faced with hard decisions because of what he's been given. It feels like prior administrations might have been making decisions just more flippantly or haphazardly, but he's intentionally looking into these things and truly doing what's best for students.
Yeah, it definitely, from my point of view, feels like he is giving students more of a voice in conversations than prior administrations with his office hours every week or every month. We've had a triangle representative at all of those. And I think that his focus is not on how do we make Drexel this brand name that's in the life sciences, biotech, how do we get our name on a building. I think his focus is how do we make our thousands of students happy that they're Drexel alumni at the end of the day. Like, we're paying a lot in tuition, and at the end of your 4 or 5 years here, what's going to make you say, like, yeah, I'm proud of my Drexel diploma, and that was worthwhile for me? And, you know, definitely in his inauguration events, whether it be the fireside chat or his inauguration speech, he talked about Drexel's lifetime earnings being higher than other colleges. I think we're in the top 3% or something.
Nice.
And
wow,
there are some impressive statistics about it, but I think that he's really focused on instilling a Drexel pride in the student body. And I hope it works, because I think that's something that we need. I think a lot of students feel like that's what we need. Of course, he's got a lot of work to do to make it happen, and we'll see what he actually does.
Gotcha. I mean, I don't know if you have any more to say about that, but for you specifically, you had a pretty big weekend.
I did. I ran the Broad Street Run on Sunday, which me and my friend and the sports editor, Janine Jin, also ran with me, but she wrote an article in this edition about the Broad Street Run, and it was a blast. It's something that I think you go to school here for 5 years. I'm a transplant. I'm from New York, so I don't know anything about Broad Street. But you come here and you hear about the Broad Street Run, and it's such a big race. There's like 40,000 people that do it every year, and it's people talk about it. They rave about it. It's the fastest 10 mile, whatever. And you know, for those of us who get into running or who enjoy it, it's a really fun day in the city where, you know, you're out and really kind of feeling the city of brotherly love energy. You're running through City Hall, you're going down Broad Street, seeing Temple, seeing, you know, South Philly, you're seeing all the stadiums, you're high-fiving Gritty on your way to the finish line. Like, it's a really fun time. So definitely check out that article, and also check out all the social media content, everything that came from the Broad Street Run. It was a great time.
Yeah, it looked like really cool. Just to be like, yeah, I mean, I feel like there's no, I mean, it's easy for me to say, but like, if I'm there, I'm not slowing down. I think it's hard to slow down when there's like, yeah, thousands of people around you cheering you on and stuff like that. That must be such a cool experience overall.
Yeah, it was such the whole time is an adrenaline rush, because it's 10 miles, and that's a lot of miles, but as far as a race, it's not that crazy.
Nice.
So you're doing it, and by the time you're at like mile 4, you're like, oh my god, like, I'm almost done. And, and there's thousands of people, and there's got signs everywhere. There's people handing out like all kinds of things from the crowd, some Oreos, some Jello shots, like random stuff everywhere. And you just really feel like a part of the city of Philadelphia on that day.
Nice. Congratulations. You should have won your medal.
I should have. Slow Broad Street Run.
What was the time?
I did 8:20, like, 7.
Oh, that's split.
Yeah,
so pretty fast.
I think it was like an hour 20 something. So,
okay.
Yeah,
wow.
I was happy. But the winner was like 45 minutes. So it's like, I think I was like starting when the winner was finishing. So it was kind of, you know, tough like that. But it was a great time. Definitely super happy to do it, and got to do it with a bunch of friends. So that's the most important part. Would recommend everyone run Broad Street once.
All right, there you go.
How do you get into running? I think that's a better question.
I think I was thinking about this because we have an article also about hobbies and staying in touch with your hobbies as a college student, and I think it's so important. And I think Niab and Sarah wrote the article.
Yep, it's also on the cover.
Wow.
Perfect. Look at that. And so they talk about, like, I think reading and crafting, and I think it's important to have hobbies that you can just do in a quiet moment, and that give you some personal validation, and all the better if it's bettering your physical health as well. But I think having something that you can turn to, like running, for me, has been so valuable, because when you're stressed on the quarter system, you got the triangle coming out on Friday, and you're grinding to make that happen, whatever it may be. Like, it's so great to have a hobby that's an escape for you. So I think it doesn't have to be running, but definitely that's something that you can start pretty easily. Mm-hmm. Low barrier to entry. You know, we got some runners here. Yeah. I think the whole pod right now might be full of runners.
This might be the running pod. This we might have to have a running section just for running. Yeah. I mean, we're in a great area too. I mean, like, you wake up, you're right next to the trail. You're right next to, like, the most beautiful trail, you know. Yeah. Maybe that's a stretch to say.
Scoop River Trail is awesome.
That's as good as it gets.
Especially
in the
spring, there's nothing like it.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing.
Get in nature, see the water. Running next to water.
My 1 mile is so nice.
Come on, Sarah. You're running fast. You're running those miles fast.
Yeah, maybe you could do, like, forget the 10 mile. Like, just focus on that. Like what Olympics?
That's what
2020.
I focus on 1 mile.
Like you, exactly.
Yeah,
on that.
Like you do yoga, and like I can't do yoga, but like I feel like I'm meditating when I'm running. That's like, my mind clears out. And I think that's what people need to find. I don't know if I've ever experienced that, but I definitely you feel like the zen of it all coming over you.
I think that's what runner's high is, no?
Maybe, I don't know.
Runner's high, my mom was saying it's like you feel you can run forever. It doesn't matter how tired you are, like you just keep going. I don't think I've ever, I don't know. I've
never had
definitely
never had that. Yeah. But I'm so happy that we got the tripod going, and I can't think of two better people to be running it here.
Thank you very much. It's the honor
of a lifetime that before I graduate, I got to come on this pod. Because let me tell you, I watched the first one, and it was like, you know that meme of Eric Andre, like, let me in.
Okay.
I was like, I just want to be a part of this, having a good time with these great people, so super pumped about the tripod.
Thank you for coming on. It's an honor to have you on as a guest.
Yeah, and we couldn't do it without your support.
True. Well, this is all because of him right here. There would be no pod
without him. You did episode one without me, so.
What'd you say?
You did episode one without me, so it's all good.
But you, they wouldn't have gotten up with him.
Yeah, sure,
player,
sure.
You know?
No, this is,
we're
this is like,
though, late
I'm
night.
So, I'm so proud of you guys. This is my dream.
Thank you. We're
Thank
proud
you,
of you too.
You're welcome.
All right.